Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
Because I was experimenting with things, this is going to sound really weird. I made bug bath bombs.
Okay.
I'm just having fun with this. And so I'm taking them up to camp and I'm handing them out to people. And I'm going, just put it in a little dish, put a little water on this little tablet and see what happens. So they were using citronella candles. They were using other kinds of stuff. And then finally they said, oh, they're bad. So they tried the tablet in a little dish of water. And I said, this is the first night that we haven't been eaten alive trying to eat our supper. So I'm like, this is great.
Hello, all. This is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. The voice you just heard was Jackie Kondrowski with Lipsky's Naturals. Jackie is a certified aromatherapist, and from what you hear in the opening quote, a very creative one. And talking to her and listening to her, you're going to learn how much she takes all of the knowledge that she's learned through her education and tries to figure out how to solve various problems with it. The bath bomb for bugs is one of them that I thought was really creative and obviously sound like it worked pretty well. So I know that we're kind of getting into fall here. The day I'm recording this, it feels very cold and rainy and definitely fall-like outside where I'm at. So hold on to that thought for your next buggy season, or if you're somewhere listening to this where bugs are plentiful, you know where to go. And speaking of fall and school starting, I might as well share this with you. We didn't talk about this in the interview because she hadn't created it yet, but I just got an email from her today and she's created some lice deterrent products. So it sounds like things that go on your body, but also hair ties, headbands, and styling gels. So I never really had to deal with lice as a kid. I know many other people who did, and I know that some of the stuff did not smell good. So here you go, another potential option. Jackie was actually supposed to be part of our panel on the Spirit Wellness Connection event that we did earlier this year. And due to a lot of things that day, she didn't end up on the panel. And we were going to do a quick podcast together, but she has so much going on in the way of creativity and the breadth of her products and how she works with people individually and really can do some custom things for them. It was a great opportunity to really share what she does. So though we've talked about essential oils and safety before, but this is a lot of different information about where they come from, use options, and of course about Jackie and her work and her goals of raising the quality of life of the people that she touches. Before we dive into all her great information, I want to thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is the first opportunity you have had to listen to the podcast, please do check out the other episodes at wellnessrenpodcast.com. That's wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can scroll through and see all of the other fantastic people and great topics that I've had the honor to share. And you'll have something else to check out after you have listened to Jackie's episode. Please help spread the word of this episode to anybody who might be interested or the podcast in general through Facebook or forwarding on your emails. That is a great way to support and it means a lot. Thank you so much. And of course, a huge gratitude bomb goes out to all of the people who are supporting me and Wellness Renaissance and my mission through Patreon. And of course, you can get to Patreon by going to the website where the podcasts are and looking for the red Become a Patron button. And then check out the levels and see what one excites you. And thank you. Thank you again so much for all of the people who are supporting this with your dollar or dollars. I really don't take that lightly. So thank you for being a part of this community. And know that as the listener, you are invited to comment on the Facebook page and the posts as well as on the website, the show posts underneath the notes. And if you're an iTunes subscriber and you have a moment to leave a review, we would so appreciate that as well. All right, let's get into our conversation with Jackie. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you, Jackie, for taking some time. Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. You were at the Spirit and Wellness Connection
a little while back and you weren't able to make it to the podcast. We had some switcheroos and things like that. So we're catching up with you now, and this is fantastic. So I want you to please introduce yourself and what you do, and maybe how you got into your business.
That's an easy question. My name is Jackie Kudrowski, and my business is called Lipsky's Natural, just because of the ski on the end. And it was difficult to figure out a name at first of what I wanted to call my little business. So I first made lip balms, and I thought, well, let's try this, lip skis, you know, and natural, because I'm trying to use really, really nice natural products that I can find.
Okay.
So how I got started, well, about myself, I am a certified early childhood family educator. So I have for 25 years been doing early childhood family education classes to many different districts in Minnesota. And I have done the child educator part and the parent educator part. So I am married. I have 5 adult sons. 4 are married. 3 have children. So I have 9 grandchildren.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I think we'll have a few more coming along, which is great. I've always been interested in essential oils. And of course, in our life, they're always in our life. Essential oils and the fixed or fatty, and sometimes they're called carrier oils, are always in our life. I love smells. I love olfaction. That's what it's all about, the olfactory sense. So the very first sense that I ever experienced to mix together was lavender and lang lang.
Mm.
And I put that into a body wash that had no scent. It said it had no scent. And I loved it. I mean, I just love the combination of the two essential oils. And it's kind of grown since then with the arrival of grandchildren, and the mothers and the sons would look for natural body products. Specifically, they're looking for the kinds of diaper rash creams that you can get on the market.
Mm.
I started to do research on what kind of oils and what were some of the formulas or recipes of natural use. And so when the children were older, not newborns and not in the, you know, not under a year, I could start whipping up some interesting little diaper rash creams. And the first ones were basically coconut oil and cornstarch and a few other things. But then as I was getting to know more about essential oils or the different types of oils that was available, I started to put some essential oils into the products. And then I was thinking to myself, I was thinking, you know, I was getting a little dangerous. That's what I felt. I felt things were, had to know more about what essential oils were, mm-hmm. and how to use them effectively, but very safely. So that took me to signing up for a program to become a certified aromatherapist. And that's when my knowledge grew. And it grew through studying chemistry, botany, and human physiology. Those kinds of sciences are all wrapped up into that program. And it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. It was extremely interesting. And it made me just so much more aware of what I was doing. And it just kind of pushed me along to start this business that I'm in that kind of complemented what I was doing in the parenting groups. Because the parents were always asking about, you know, sustainability, you know, the products that we're using, are they sustainable? Are they natural? Are they good for us? And so we actually would do discussions on safe household products. How can you make safe household products out of just normal things that we have in our environment? And so that kind of grew. There's been a lot of people that have used essential oils from different companies, and they brought that information in. And again, you know, it's about my sense of doing these things has always been safety first and being effective. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I always come from. Safety first, being effective, and not being wasteful.
It's great to know, you know, kind of what your focus is in the whole concept, that it is about being safe, and it's also about being mindful and not wasteful. And it's nice to know that as you're creating what you're creating. So talk to me about, so the products that you are making, all of them are products that you are making. Is that correct?
Right, I am. The ingredients that I'm sourcing, I do not make the ingredients. Those I will find, and I will look for natural processed ingredients, the best I can find that's out in the world.
Okay.
And that would be essential oils that are 100% essential oils, unadulterated oils.
Okay.
Which is difficult to find. And sometimes, you know, all we have is to take the word of the company that is the distribution company. What I have been doing is doing a lot of research and getting the GCMS reports. And that is gas chromatography and mass spectrometry reports that tells me what the percentages of chemical components are in the essential oil. And also on that, those types of reports, it would also note down if there were any other chemicals in that essential oil. And it also tells me how the percentages of the chemical component, which is really interesting. I'll give you an example of lavender. There are several species of lavender, and most of the time, I use a lot of lavender, and it's called Lavandula angustifolia.
Okay.
That particular lavender is one that I use a lot in lotions and creams and butters. But there's other lavenders that are very good, but they are different. There is one that's called a spike lavender, and that one has more of the chemical component. It's called 1.8-cineol, and that particular chemical component gives us heat, what we feel as heat.
Okay.
And so that one I would perhaps use making something such as an inhaler, which we and that is just a cotton piece in like a nasal inhaler, and we would use that in inhalation therapy. Or we could use that particular lavender in a diffuser for, let's say we had a lot of nasal stuffiness or something like a sinus headache, that could be helpful that way too. Plant species, that's that whole botany part of the program that I was studying. And it's so interesting. There's so many plants out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot to take in and understand with the nuances of their differences.
Right. Yeah. The essential oils, they're so wonderful, and they give us so many wonderful benefits. I can say this about that. Plants are capable of synthesizing two kinds of oils. One is the fixed oils, which that's the kind of oil that we get from, you know, like an avocado oil or a hemp seed oil.
Okay.
And essential oils. And the essential oils are made up of many kinds of chemical components, and they make molecules. So an essential oil can have as much as 200 different molecules of these chemical components. And they live together in a special way, and they create a unique aroma, and they have unique therapeutic effects. So in the plant, essential oils are held in specialized storage sacs or glands or vesicles.
Mm-hmm.
And the extraction process is that it pulls out those essential oils out of those super sacs or the vesicles. Mm-hmm. And that distillation process, it can be through steam distillation. The citrus oils, many of them are cold pressed out of the rinds of the citrus. And it could be a CO2 process. There's even more than that. So that's the way we get essential oils. And there are some plants that do not have these like little glands in them that we cannot get essential oils from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I was always wanting to get a lilac essential oil. And that's one of the plants that does not let us distill an essential oil from, which I thought, oh, gee, that's really bad. So I really want lilac. So I have to do something else. And that's called hydrosol.
Okay. What is that?
A hydrosol is the floral, well, thinking of a floral plant like a lilac, it's the floral waters. So it's not the essential oil, it's the waters from the plant that you would get.
Okay.
So when a steam distillation is happening, you get just the bare minimum amount of essential oil. That's why it's so expensive, because you need a lot of plant matter to get drops of essential oil.
Okay.
However, from the steam distillation, they also, the rest of the plant matter will have water in that, because the steam has to go through that plant matter. And the waters that are gathered from that process are called hydrosols. And they are very nice. They're very gentle. Just to give you an example of what happens with the steam distillation process. It takes 50 rose buds, like the open rose flowers that you get, to get one drop of rose essential oil. 50.
Wow.
Yeah. And so rose is one of the more expensive essential oils, especially like a rose absolute or a rose OTTO, rose auto.
Okay.
That one is really expensive. I mean, it can get into the hundreds of dollars for a 5 mL bottle. And 5 mL, well, I'll call it a mil, is 1 teaspoon. So that's okay. Not very much.
Wow.
Well, that's kind of the basis of an essential oil. Okay. They're just wonderful chemicals, components in this oil that have some wonderful things, benefits for us.
Yeah, the processes are really interesting.
The other process that is so interesting, when I was doing this program, we had to do a very huge research paper. We did case studies also. But this research paper I did on the essential oil called vetiver. It's a grass. And you get it, it has to be in coming from a tropical climate. So I started to do this research on vetiver, and the growers of vetiver, it's just an amazing process. And they grow this grass. The roots of the plant go down 6 to 8 feet into the ground.
Wow.
The root system is where they get the essential oil from.
Oh, really?
Yes. So essential oils can come from roots, leaves, flowers, bark, tree bark, seeds. They can get these essential oils from different parts of the plant. But this vetiver, so they would dig up the plant, the grass, and they have to beat the roots of the plant free of all the soil that has, you know, that comes with the roots.
Right.
So it's an amazing amount of work that these growers, the farmers, are putting into growing this particular grass. And the top of the grass seed, they would be, you know, they can make mats, they can do so much. They can use it for plant matter for animals and so forth. So they bale these roots and they take them to the distillery. which is another process, because in many of the places where the vetiver is grown, they don't have a huge road system. They don't have a lot of money. So they're baling up these things. They're taking them to the distillery, which then they have like these huge stills they put the roots in.
Okay, sure.
And then they'll start the distillery process with water, heating all of that, forcing the steam through that plant matter to get the oil and to also get the hydrosol.
So,
the grower sells it to the distillery. The distillery then will sell it to distributors and so a certain amount of that oil may be purchased for making perfumes, or a certain amount of that oil will be sold to companies that will use it for making aerosols or making creams, different products out of that essential oil and hydrosol that's coming from the distillery process.
Sure. Okay.
So that's kind of the whole process and pipeline of getting essential oils and hydrosols from the grower to the distillery to distributors.
Okay.
And
wow.
Companies. So it's a long process. It's so interesting to note how much has to be grown and then how it's manufactured and then what happens after that.
Right. And how it's cared for. And like you say, you know, with the amount of work that it takes, I can imagine when we think of companies and essential oils and all the different types out there and the price ranges, that there could be some temptation to, you know, make them not as pure as they could be, just to, you know, obviously get more out of it.
Right, right. And I'm sure that that is happening. The other thing is, as I did more research to understand fragrance oils, mm-hmm. which are synthetic.
Oh, okay. Fragrance oils are synthetic, meaning?
Many, yeah.
Okay. So you mean the things that might be in a shampoo or a perfume?
Right.
Okay, got it. Perfect. Okay.
Right. So those types of fragrance oils, since they're synthetic, they are man-made. They are also made of chemicals. But the most interesting part to me was, because we have, you know, 200 chemical components in an essential oil, mm-hmm. The percentages of what's in there, sometimes the science cannot mimic exactly what's in that essential oil. So there could be something in the essential oil that is unique and more beneficial than what it is in a fragrance oil. And so that really clicked to me, because it's like, you know, we're always thinking science is the worst thing in the world, but it's not, because it's science that's giving us essential oils and hydrosols. It's also science that's giving us other healthy things. How we're using them could be the most unhealthy way.
Right.
So,
information is power, and sometimes that power gets used for good and sometimes not so good.
Right. So that's kind of how that kind of clicked in my head, and how I'm thinking about what I'm doing with making products and how there's the way we're applying products to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also really important, the applications of what we're doing. So there's like 6 different routes of application that we can use essential oils. One is the topical way, which is through the skin. Another is inhalation. There's another application route that's called sublingual, which is through the soft membrane of the mouth or under the tongue. There's the anal route. There's also vaginal root.
Okay.
And also the oral route, which is taking them by swallowing them. So that's the 6 routes of that we can use for application of essential oils. I prefer to only use the topical route and inhalation route. I do not, and this is because, again, of the program that I have studied with, oral route of doing an application, which means, you know, putting like a lemon essential oil in water is not safe. Because when we're drinking essential oil, basically when you think of oil and water, does not mix. Everything has to go through the kidneys and the liver, and the chemical components are not exactly safe to go through that. It's like drinking alcohol, where we can get too much of a good thing or not a good thing.
Not a good thing for those parts of the body, perhaps.
Right, right. And so we can do actual harm to ourselves. And so the program that I have studied is that it has to be carefully monitored of what we're putting into our body and how much and when, how often. And so that's a unique part of information that has to be included if we're going to do any kind of oral application. Mm-hmm. Topical information and the application is very specific also. You have to know dilution of the essential oil to a fixed oil or butter. When we talk about using oils neat, essential oils neat, that means that we are putting the oil on, the essential oil on our skin without a carrier oil.
Okay, so straight on.
Straight. And there are some things that can happen even with that type of an application. You could have an irritation, which can be, you know, pretty minor to not minor. You can have an all-out sensitization, which means that you could actually have raised blisters on your skin. And perhaps you will not be able to use that essential oil again.
Oh, wow.
And you could have phototoxicity, which some of our oils, especially some of the citrus oils, have components, chemical components in them, that if you put them on our skin in a certain ratio, which is, it's only a very slight amount and not recommended for neat at all, and you go out in the sun, then you will become sunburned. Mm-hmm. Phototoxicity means that that oil, when you get into the sun, will burn you.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things are very tricky. You have to know what you're doing. And that's what I'm talking about. Safety is to make sure that our safe usage is spot on, because we don't want to have a burn. We don't want to have an itch or raise a rash. There is so much information that has been occurred through research about using essential oils on babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so the age of using essential oils, from Tislerin and Young's Using Essential Oil Safety book, says that we should not use them at all until they're 4 or 5 years of age. And some of them, they recommend that infants that are such as newborns from 0 to 6 months, that we don't use anything like that.
Okay.
And
just their bodies are just too,
yes,
too sensitive.
They're immature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have immature lungs. They have immature livers and immature kidneys. And so those things are not, they're not ready for the essential oil chemical components. They just can't process them through their bodies.
You mentioned, and I'm just curious because this is something we don't hear very much about, you had talked about vaginally and anally.
Right.
What would be purposes that might happen? And is that something that you have worked with people on, or is that something, you know, that you don't recommend or is used in just very specific cases?
Well, this is another route. Those two specific routes of application, you would probably be able to do that with suppositories.
Okay.
And why would you use that? Chlamydia. You know, some people would. Herpes, maybe.
Okay.
So would they be effective? Have no idea. Some people say, you know, the research is still going on. And what are you getting relief from? Are you getting relief from the itch? From having something really sore? you know? Mm-hmm. The roots of application, those two roots are kind of sensitive because...
Right. I'm going to say the epithelial lining there is a little...
Yeah.
It's a little tender and you know, very direct.
And it will be effective. Again, so much of this has to be medically followed, you know? It has to be really, really carefully done. And so the research and most of the experts are saying, please have medical professionals track all of this, not just, you know, handing somebody something and say, here, put this on.
Right.
You know, put it in, swallow it, stick it up someplace, whatever. But, you know, it's very dangerous. And it can be effective, and maybe it won't be effective. Mm-hmm. So dosages and how often you use these things, the tracking has to be very, very important.
That makes sense.
Yep. So there are actually levels of being in aromatherapy. The next level that I could go to would be a clinical certified aromatherapist. And that gets you into the other areas of roots of application and even more specifically for doing these things. I'm not real comfortable in those kinds of roots of application, and so I would not do that.
Yeah, that sounds like it's definitely, I mean, from everything that I understand, that's a lot more, it's a lot more specialized and kind of intense.
It is. It's really important to have those medical professionals help you out with those things.
Right. So all of this knowledge and this education that you have been, you know, working on and the research that you've done to figure out which oils are the best and the purest and going to come to you with the least toxins, those are the things that you're then putting into your products that you're making.
Right.
So talk about some of the things that you have available for people.
Okay.
And one of the things I saw was butter.
Right.
Tell me about that. That's kind of new to me.
Okay. The butters this would be what we call a fixed oil. And there are different types of fixed oils. There are brittle oils or butters. There are like the medium ones, which is could be a cocoa butter, could be a medium one, and a soft butters, which usually those are like classified like coconut oil or shea oil.
Okay.
And they're very soft. They melt on practically as soon as you put them on your skin. With cocoa butters, I have used the natural cocoa butters that are not deodorized. I really like them. Cocoa butter comes from the coca plant, which is where we get chocolate. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I like that smell. I can smell chocolate. Oh, wow.
Not a problem, right?
Right. In some products that I use cocoa butter, I don't want to cover it up necessarily. I want that to be part of what you're going to have a scent of. And so sometimes in some of the butters that I make them just totally natural without an essential oil.
Oh, okay.
Just because they're so lovely. A coconut oil can have a wonderful scent to it also. So sometimes if I'm using a coconut oil, it's just going to be that, you know, you'll just have this beautiful scent of this kind of a sweet scent, but it's not coconut. You can't put your finger on it, but I love it, you know. And the essential oils, when I add essential oils, it could be for a certain therapeutic effect that I would like you to have.
Okay.
Such as making a chest butter that you put on your chest so that when you're coughing really hard, how your muscles in your chest start to hurt because you're coughing so hard and so long from maybe bronchitis or something. So you put on that butter, which has certain essential oils in it that will help to relieve that soreness from your muscle in the ribs. there's oils that I could use, essential oils that would have an analgesic effect, which kind of numbs pain, such as sometimes people would come around and say, oh, my knee, I twisted my knee. Do you have something for my knee? Yeah, I do have something for you. Everyone come. My family comes up to me and says, you got an oil for that? And I said,
right?
Yeah, I got an oil.
Help me out here.
And they would, sometimes my sons would come around and said, oh, you're just pulling our legs. It's not going to work. I know it's not. And then I make it and I'm going, hey, this really works. I like it.
I love it.
It's kind of interesting. So they could have analgesic effects. They could have antibacterial effects. They could have anti-infectious, anti-inflammatory, which again, that could be from, you know, arthritis, from having a sprain. They could be citrus, which it means celery regenerativeness. And that's something that we use when we have chapped skin, from being really, really chapped. And sometimes our skin splits, you know, on our fingers when we, from the cold.
Oh, yes.
And so forth, you know, so we want something to heal that, help us heal.
Okay.
Or we've gotten a frostbite, or maybe we've too much sun, you know, I mean, we have sunburn. So those things, those are the ways that we can use essential oils to get those benefits from, to help us out.
And those would those be in the butter, or is that in all across the things that you have?
Actually, some of the butters and oils, that the fixed butters and oils that we, that are used, they do have some properties that help very definitely to give us those effects. And the essential oils, they also will help us. So that's kind of, we're getting like a 2-for-1.
Gotcha.
Product,
yes.
Sometimes when I do those butters and creams, even the process of using a hemp seed oil and putting an essential oil in that hemp seed oil, That's kind of how I'm thinking about what I'm doing. I'm also thinking of something else, and it has to smell good. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't smell good, we're not going to use it.
Right?
So it's really, really important that people give me their information about what they like in odor. You know, some people like floral or odors. Some people like the earthy odors, like the vetiver is an earth odor. It's like smells like earth.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And some people like the odor of pine or a spruce, all that, the beautiful green pine smells. So, you know, they have to kind of give me that, some sense of what they like.
Right.
And that helps me out to fulfill what they want. It's kind of interesting because sometimes smells actually tell us that they don't want that, but what we're drawn to is what we want, which is interesting because sometimes two oils, they're similar in their components, but there's just one thing that we don't like about that certain oil, oil that's not quite right. They'll say, it's not quite right. It smells like dirty socks or something.
Oh, uh-huh.
So, but, you know, it's very personal. It's important to them.
Well, and you figure too, when we think about, you know, I think of tastes sometimes and how we sometimes taste things a little differently, right? Like there's the genes for the people who have like cilantro and the people who think cilantro tastes like soap. You know,
exactly. and that's exactly what happens when we start smelling essential oils. We're really drawn to some that we really enjoy and that it seems like we have a need for them. A couple of things about essential oils too. In the safety category, There are essential oils which should not be used with certain medications. If we are, you know, taking certain medications. We should not be mixing those with essential oils.
Do you have an example or two you could share?
Well, the one that's the culprit a lot of times would be wintergreen, because wintergreen has salicylic acid in it.
Okay.
And so that one is pretty toxic. There's others too. It takes some research, and sometimes I don't know the answer. I can't find it in my sources. And so I would go to a pharmacist, actually.
Oh, okay.
Start asking, because they have a lot more resources. And I think maybe that could be a good place to ask.
Right.
For, you know. There's also another one that is very important to know, and that is if you are pregnant or a nursing mother, there's only certain types of essential oils that should be used during pregnancy or during breastfeeding.
Okay.
So that, again, basically it's a transfer of what we're doing with our milk, you know, for the baby, mm-hmm. and also with the inhalation. If we have that on our skin, our babies are smelling that. So that could be a toxicity for the infant. And it is also an interference with breastfeeding to have these heavy smells, scents on us, that we are encouraging the infant, especially the newborns, to nurse. Mm-hmm. And that's an interference for the infant to latch on.
Interesting. That makes, I can make sense of that. That's yeah. just something we don't so much think about, but that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's latching on and to nourish. And that we don't want to interfere in that. That's what we want to encourage.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, I think if just in our general sense, you know, I tend to be very sensitive to perfumes more so than essential oils, for sure. But I know, you know, I've been in situations where somebody is really heavily coated in scents of one sort or another. And when you're trying to eat, sometimes that can be, as an adult, that can be very disturbing or just hard to kind of get past.
Yes. So one of the things that with our sensitivity to odors, that's why I make products without essential oils, so that they're just free of the scents that, you know, we just can't handle them. I also think that when we use essential oils, we're not thinking about, you know, how much should we use. If we use, let's say I have a diffuser bracelet on with those beads, or it could be a leather diffuser bracelet and so forth, you only need a drop. If you're using it neat, which means there's no other carrier oils with it, you only need a drop.
Wow.
And that's it. So otherwise, you know, if we're using it like sugar, which sometimes we put a tablespoon into our cup of coffee or so forth,
right?
We're using way too much.
A little bit goes a long way.
Oh, it's even less than a little bit. I'll give you an example of a dilution.
Okay.
You can take one fluid ounce of, let's say I have one fluid ounce of sweet almond oil or olive oil, and I want to make a dilution of 1%. Okay.
Okay.
That means I would use to that 1 ounce of oil, 5 or 6 drops.
Okay.
Of oil. And that's it.
And that oil, that 1 ounce, is probably going to go pretty far too, right?
It will go very far. Yeah. But that is a good ratio for a 1% dilution rate.
Okay.
And that one would work for most people, because that one you could apply directly to your skin. Let's say I have like very, very, very chapped hands. So I want to put that on my hands and not be afraid of a sensitization. And I could do that with a 1%. There is a way to tell if you would be sensitized to an essential oil, and that is to do a patch test.
Okay.
And some people do this directly as a neat. They'll take like an orange or a peppermint. Peppermint is one that can actually, you know, give you that sensitization right away.
Okay.
Because you'll feel heat. And so they would take one drop of that, they'd place it on their forearm, the inside of the forearm, to see, you know, if they have any kind of red rash raising up, if they just can't stand it, it's too hot, before they would do anything else. If they have any kind of feeling that's discomforting, then you would dilute that with olive oil or coconut oil or avocado oil, even vegetable oil, to dilute it, let that calm down, and then wipe it off.
Okay.
So to wash it off would never take the essential oil off your skin. You have to dilute it with another oil and then wipe it off after that.
Right. Okay. The whole water and oil not mixing. So the oil and the oil will help mix to dilute to bring it to a place where it can be lifted off.
Right. Right. That's what we want to do. Water and oil, like you said, and I said, does not mix. The reason why we use a carrier oil or a fixed oil is to make the topical process slow down so that it doesn't evaporate as fast. An essential oil will evaporate quite fast, and we want it to be there for a while so we can have a more effective usage with it.
That makes sense.
Get more benefit. So again, you know, there's a reason why we're doing the dilution is to make it work better.
Right. Well, I just, you know, I want to just talk a little bit about the fact that you have a really beautiful array of interesting products.
Thank you.
It's fun. I'd been, you know, looking through your site previously when we talked, and you talked about starting with lip balms, and you've got like a bunch of really cool flavors. I love the cha-cha coffee.
It's good. It's nice. It's nice.
Just to go back to the body products, we talked about butters a little bit. You've got the rollerball bottles and all, you know, different types of them and different types of cream and clay face masks. So, you know, and many purposes, those things, like you say, you have the clay face masks, but then you have the essential oils that get to the different effects of what you want to accomplish with that face mask.
Right.
Or the inhalers, I guess, would be actually a better example. Talk about the inhaler a little bit. Like, how do you use that? And I know just looking again at your website, you have multiple different kinds. You have sinus, headache, cold, nausea are different things we can accomplish with that inhaler. Right. And allergy too.
When we're thinking about the inhalation of essential oils, that scent, it's really, really important. Actually, aromatherapy is about olfaction. And olfaction is the scientific term for smelling. And that is one of our primary senses. So inside our nose, we have a smelling apparatus called the olfactory membrane. And just as a key fits into a lock, an aromatic molecule fits into a certain receptor. And that receptor sends us a message to the brain, and it defines which molecule or aroma is coming into our nose. So we actually have an olfactory memory. In fact, as an early childhood educator, I would do a little exercise with 4 and 5 year olds, and we would have smelling jars. And in those smelling jars, we would put like lemon extract or vinegar, chili pepper or something in there that had a definite scent. And some of the children could actually say, oh, this one's pickles, you know?
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And so 4-year-olds, they understood and they had the memory of what a pickle is smelling like, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, our sense of smell is pretty powerful in for many of us in how we connect to memories, you know? And I think of that with kids. I've seen that with kids too. They smell something. I know for me, I lived in India for 6 months and I have a very solid attachment to what it smelled like there. And if I walk into an Indian restaurant that has similar spice kind of thing, you know, it's like, oh, my whole body goes back to India, you know? Right. My mother made this treat called scotcheroo bars, and I say this only because it was such a vivid thing that I don't hardly ever make them, but I love them. They're like one of my absolute favorite childhood treats. And I was at a dinner, and I was sitting there, and it was a potluck, and I was sitting there in the chair going, I smell scotcheroo bars.
Uh-oh.
How can I be smelling scotcheroo bars? And all of a sudden I saw a pan appear from the kitchen and came around, and I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody made scotcheroo bars. It was the most exciting thing in the world for me. I am a very smell attached person. So
we all are.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And the reason for it is our olfactory sense is so strong. There's a direct route to the limbic part of our brain. And so it's just like, it's almost faster than light speed, I think.
Wow.
Because
yeah.
It goes right there. And so we can have a number of responses, such as, you know, it could be an emotion response or instinctive behavior or motivation drive. It has feelings connected to it and has learning and memory.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all kinds of things that, you know, happen with olfaction, sensory. It also, because we are smelling it and that smell goes into the brain, everything happens with the brain. And through that part of olfaction, we're also connecting to the bloodstream, our circulatory system.
Mm-hmm.
Which is carrying the molecules that cross those barriers, because it's an easier barrier to cross through the nose,
mm-hmm.
because it gets into that bloodstream very easily and can go to where it's supposed to get the benefit from it much faster.
Okay.
And so it has to do with you're asking about inhalation. Okay, we're taking a breath in. And we let it out. But then if it's a good scent that we like, we'll do it again.
Mm.
We'll let it out. And we're getting the effects of inhalation through breaking through the barrier of that helps through the circulatory system and also the limbic system. And we can get the effects, the positive effects that are coming from the essential oil that way,
mm-hmm.
much easier.
Okay.
And the topical application is very nice. It works wonderfully, but inhalation is going to be faster.
So how do the inhalers that you sell, I was mm-hmm. looking at the picture and I was just trying to understand how they work.
Okay. I have come across, they call them a reusable inhaler, okay. which they're a tube. And I think most of the inhalers that people think about are those little tubes like the Vicks Vapor Rub ones. You know, you put them in up to your nose. Sometimes people put them actually in the nostril and they breathe in. It's the same type of kind of device where there's a cap that fits on the inhaler piece. And it screws on. Inside that inhaler piece, there's a cotton swab, just about an inch long, maybe quarter inch thick. And that is where you drop the essential oils on. And it's just straight essential oils. There's nothing else in that inhaler.
Okay.
And then you close up, you put the insert into the cap, twist it shut, and there you go.
Oh, wow.
You've got it ready to go. Use it when you need it. People use them for many different purposes. Sometimes they use it just because they can feel a headache coming on. So they'll take a nice inhalation of some essential oils that would help them with the analgesic effects. They could use them for nausea. And I have actually was asked to make some inhalers for a person that was going through chemotherapy, and they were having some very, very hard nausea kinds of conditions that came with that chemotherapy treatment. And she actually got some from the nurses at the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And she said, hey, can you reproduce these? Because I'm not in the hospital right now, but I'm out of everything. And I said, well, let's take a look. And luckily, the ingredients were on the inhaler. And oh, sure, I can do this. And she thought that was great. Some people actually take them on an airplane when they're flying. And because they get nauseous up there, too.
Right.
And so, you know, that it has helped people with that kind of situation. If you have like a sinus infection or a bad cold and you're all stuffed up, there's essential oils that could help you with clearing out and opening up those sinus passages, you know?
Sure.
So
that's a handy thing you could have in your pocket type size?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Pocket. It could be next to your bed, you know, on your night table. It could be in the bathroom. Where you need it is where you should have it.
Okay. And I see you do bath bombs as well.
That was, they're fun. What can I say? The bath bombs, there's controversy over them. Yes, well, some people just don't want to have anything in their bath water, which is fine.
Okay, sure.
But a bath bomb, basic ingredients, baking soda, which is, you know, what we usually have in our kitchen, and citric acid, which normally comes from the citric peels. Sometimes I think it comes from other plants too, but so those are the two basic ingredients of a bath bomb.
Okay.
And when you put them together, you don't, sometimes I just leave it as powder just for an experiment. We can make, you add water, and what's going on is a very basic chemical base. It's an acid base reaction because the water is activating the baking soda and the citric acid.
Okay.
And what we're producing is carbon dioxide. So we're making pop.
Gotcha.
Basically. And that's the two main ingredients in a bath bomb. What I add to that and what others are adding could be cornstarch, cream of tartar, collodial oatmeal. They could add goat's milk or coconut milk powder. They could add kaolin curlet, they could add tapioca powder, honey powder. Those would be the dry ingredients. And all of those have certain benefits that they're looking for their skin.
Okay.
Such as, you know, like the collodial oatmeal is just very, very, very fine oatmeal. And I remember having the chicken pox that one time in my life where the doctor said, oh, put her in a bathtub with some oatmeal in it for the itching.
Right.
You know? And because it's soothing to the skin.
Okay.
And that's really why you put in collodial oatmeal is because it's addressing dry, itchy skin.
Okay. Okay.
The benefits of what's in the oatmeal. And so those are the dry ingredients. The wet ingredients are usually a base oil or a fixed oil, such as sweet almond oil. It could be even olive oil, apricot oil, grapeseed oil is very, very nice. So I like to use, of course, essential oils because it's another way to use essential oils effectively. And I also like to use either witch hazel or alcohol. Usually a 70% alcohol. That means it's 70% alcohol and 30% water. Just very, very little because you have to bind it together. So we take all these powders and we add just this little bit of liquid and we mix and mix and mix and mix. And it's really difficult to get it to hold together without activating. Because, yeah, as soon as you put in too much liquid, you're going to have an explosion going on.
Right. Okay. Sure. That makes sense.
This is why they're tricky. And you're making a rock again. So you basically take all these things that were from a rock putting them with a few little liquids and making another rock. Which kind of is like this circular route, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
But, you know, it has it when the baking soda and the citric acid go, if you have any kind of a like coconut milk powder or goat's milk powder, those kinds of things, they usually have a bubbling effect. So you can get some foam on the water.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which is, but if you just want a basic fizzy to put in your bathtub, it's fun.
Right.
It's just fun. So those are the kinds of things that a bath bomb is. And you can, okay. I mean, there are so many things you can do with those things.
Right. And you have a bunch of different kinds. So yeah. All, you know, all the different additional essential oils and things that you're putting in there to again, get the right scents or results right. that we're looking for.
Right. Right. So people like them. And I like them when, let's say I want to just relax and chill out. I would have essential oils like lavender in there. Maybe I put a little drop of vetiver in it. And then I would just kind of sit back and relax in the bathtub. Mm. Let that just take all that tension out of your pores and just leave it, you know. And then you could fall asleep easier.
Wow, right.
So that can be an effect. Some people will use them. I've actually made some for pedicures.
Oh.
That will help like your feet when you put them in the basin of water and okay. let your feet soak.
Yeah.
And it could soften up your toenails really nicely. It could address that fungus that's on your feet, you know. So those things they're pretty nice sometimes to have around. Maybe soften up those corns that are bugging you.
Right. So, yeah. That are messing with your step and your foot.
Exactly. Exactly. So some people love them just because, you know, if you're big into running or big outdoors person that's been doing a lot of hard work with your muscles and they're really, really tired and overworked. Mm-hmm. And that's where that analgesic effect, you know, I would choose certain essential oils to put in there to help your muscles kind of rejuvenate themselves because okay. it's going mm-hmm. to come through your skin anyway. Like right. we said, it's topical and it will be inhalation too, because you're going to be smelling these wonderful scents. So you're getting kind of this effect that helps you with anti-inflammatory things that you too many burpees that day at the gym. And I can't move anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. You need something to soften you up a little bit and help you ease the pain. I see that you have shower steamers for those people who maybe not having time to enjoy the bath, but having that in the morning. How do they work?
Well, again, you know, that's the main route of application is inhalation. This is just a really, really basic kind of tablet that I'm making, which is mostly the baking soda and citric acid. And I use cream of tartar so I can make it hard.
Okay.
And then I use just a little bit of an oil and some alcohol. Mix and mix and mix and mix. And... these have blown up on me a lot.
I can imagine. In front of
my eyes, I'm going, oh, this is a mess. So then I put in the essential oils, and I also include with those sometimes a small 5/8 gram of oil for people that really want to open their sinuses.
Oh.
I need some eucalyptus to get my sinuses open because I'm so stuffed up. Or they'll say, I want to wake up and I want to lift my mood. So when we're looking for something that can, you know, help us lift up ourselves and give us some energy, I like sweet orange or any of the citruses. So you're breathing it in more than sitting in water with it. The water comes down from the shower and activates the tablet, and the oils then are carried with the steam into our system that way.
Right.
So that is inhalation.
And how does that, like, how do the actual shower steamers work? Like, is that something you put on the floor that the water?
Right. Right. We put it on the floor of the shower or the bathtub, and the water comes down. And like I said, as soon as water hits that baking soda and citric acid, we have a base acid chemical reaction. It's a very light chemical reaction. Okay. And that's where it's going on. It's carrying all the wonderful scents and molecules through the steam into us. And that's how it works.
So you are, obviously you are a wealth of knowledge and a great resource. If they're having some things they're trying to help with, whether it's, you know, and we touched on some of them, the allergies, mm-hmm. nausea, sore mm-hmm. muscles, all of that, sinuses. So people can call you and say, hey, this is what's going on. What do you recommend?
Yes, they can. And I would come to them too. You know, one of the things that as aromatherapist, I can do consultations with any one person that would like to have just a product made just for them for their specific issues that they're having.
Okay.
And I can come to them and we can smell some essential oils and they can give me information about, you know, their health. I need to know that. I need to know if they are taking medications. I need to know, you know, what's going on with them. You know, their issue. I will try to address that issue through the uses of essential oils and see, you know, how the therapeutic effects and benefits can support them. Now, there is a lot of information that will say it can cure. I do not cure. The essential oils, I will not say will cure you. Mm-hmm. That is a false claim. But we can say it can support you. It can give you some benefits. And that will be up to the person and up to how significant that issue is. So that's how it works.
This is fantastic. I want to definitely talk about your classes and your contact and all of that. Is there anything else you want to share with a product that you have that we haven't touched on that is unique or important or something else that you want us to know?
Actually, just before you and I got going here, I was making some insect repellents.
Ooh.
So that is also another area that I find really interesting. And so what am I doing with them? I can make, and I have made, and just trying to do my own kind of non-scientific studies on what's, you know, how can I chase these wonderful Minnesota bugs away?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some success with certain essential oils in sprays. I've had lots of success with certain ones that seem to take the itch away.
Okay.
And of course, you know, what I'd like is to make sure that the bugs don't want to bite you, but they get through a lot of stuff. They're very hungry. So we do get some bites, but some of the sprays and creams that I've made, I really like. Okay. I made a salve last year that I liked the best of all because using the salve, and I would put it on my clothes because I don't like to do that on skin as much because it's absorbed through the skin. Okay. I want it to like keep chasing them away. I don't want to absorb it.
Oh, sure. Right. Okay. Yeah.
That's why I like to put it on something that will stay activated for a longer time than on my skin.
Sure.
Because I was experimenting with things. This is going to sound really weird. I made bug bath bombs.
Ah! Okay.
And, I mean, I'm just having fun with this. And so I'm taking them up to camp. And I'm handing them out to people. And I'm going, just put it in a little dish, put a little water on this little tablet, and see what happens. So they were using citronella candles. They were using other kinds of stuff. And then finally they said, oh, they're bad. And I said, I know. So they tried the tablet in a little dish of water. And I said, this is the first night that we haven't been eaten alive trying to eat our supper. picnic table. Wow. So I'm like, this is great. I'm not sure if I could ever recreate that same thing. I'm going to try it this summer.
I was going to say, it sounds like you need to try.
Yeah. I had good success last summer with it. So maybe my research is telling me, hey, there's certain essential oils that really work well with chasing bugs away. They don't like them.
Right.
It's just a whole different, I don't know, the world just has opened up with the study that I've been pursuing. Mm-hmm. And trying to find out how to use them the best way to use them.
Well, it sounds like you're super creative about it, which is amazing. I mean, you're like, okay, we've got a problem. Let's solve it.
Yeah, let's try this. We won't, right. You know, we'll be careful.
Right. But that's so fantastic. I love it. And thinking about exactly what you're saying with toxins and things like that that are in products. And I am not a fan of so many of the bug stuff. And whether it's something you spray in your space or something you put on your body, I just feel icky and I don't feel good and I don't love bugs and I hate bug bites. I am one of those people who I must have a pretty solid allergy. I can have a bug bite for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have been amazed at how like literally weeks. I remember one year I had been outside and we had snow on the ground and I still had a couple bug bites on the back of my leg and I'm like, these are never going to go away. Tell us about your classes. So do you typically teach in Duluth? Is that typically where you're working? Do you do anything online or anything like that?
Yes. The two places I have done classes at the Duluth Makerspace.
Okay.
Here and at the Duluth Folk School. And because I'm usually tied up with the early childhood family education classes, my time sometimes is stretched to the max. So when I have a chance, I'll try and get on their schedules and say, okay, tonight we'll do an insect repellent class and we'll make two products or one product. We'll make inhalers and another class. We'll make bath bombs and we'll get creative. We'll make them artistically.
Neat.
So there's so much that can be done for fun, for health benefits. I've done classes on household cleansers that work really nicely. So there's a lot that I can offer. I've done birthday parties.
Oh,
where
really?
We've made lip balms. Yeah. And so those were really fun because I was working with 10-year-olds and they were just having a blast.
I bet.
And they were smelling the oils and they're like being very careful about how they're filling the lipstick tubes and everything. It was just really fun.
Great. I want people to know how to reach you. And also if somebody, so you teach in Duluth, Minnesota here, but if somebody is listening to this and they're far away, can they still work with you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'll go to where, you know, if you would like to have a class or if you'd like to have a consultation, that's an easy thing for me to do. How to get in touch with me. I do have a website. It's www.lipskiesnaturals.com. Email address is lipskiesnatural@gmail.com. And that's probably the easiest way is to send me an email and I can get in touch with you that way. Basically, that would be the easiest way to find me.
Perfect. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah, you offer a lot of really great stuff. This is fantastic.
There's things on the website that I make there, but there's so much more that I don't put on the website.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm always working with different combinations of essential oils and improving the creams or improving the butters or improving a bath bomb or improving a body wash. So oh my gosh. Yeah, there's so much more that I can do that I can't put on the website because it'd be such a mess.
Gotcha. Well, Well, and people can see you. You do, yeah, obviously you were at Spirit and Wellness Connection last week, and you had a bunch of your things available there to show people. You do other shows throughout the year. Anything that you do regularly that people might be able to catch you at?
Yes. Actually, I have products in two different places.
Okay.
They're in consignment stores. The one store is at the Two Loons Boutique and Gallery, right down here in the Lincoln Park Craft District.
Okay.
On Superior Street. And there is another one at, it's called Gateway. It's in Carlton, Minnesota. If you go to my website, lipskinesnaturals.com, there's a store on there that you can buy them, and I'll send them out to you if you would like that.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, and your prices are very reasonable, it looks like to me, which is great, very accessible.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want it to be.
Well, this is really fantastic. I appreciate learning about you, because I tell you, I didn't know, you know, even being at your table, the breadth of all of the things that you offer and that you have created. It's amazing.
It's so interesting, and it leads me to do one thing. Well, then I think I should try this and see how that's going to work. It just is taking me on a whole journey of learning and just feeling good and healthy.
And makes it easy, and to have somebody to work with who really understands the benefits and what they can do. You know, and again, we're living in a culture where many of us are not loving perfumes so much, you
right,
know,
right.
And so to have something that smells good and has benefit feels like a kind of double duty, and why not?
Well,
less junk in the air and something beneficial.
Right. I think a lot of what I try to do is to raise our quality of life. That's what I really want to do. That's why I guess I came into early childhood family education, and that's why I became a certified aromatherapist, is raise that quality of life. Let's
right.
enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And safely.
Right.
Again, you can connect with Jackie and find out about her classes and all the things she's got going on at lipskisnaturals.com. That's LipskisNaturals.com. naturals.com, and her email address is lipskisnaturals@gmail.com. and just because we had a little sound hiccup, one of the stores she is at is Two Loons Gallery and Boutique in Duluth, and the other one is Gateway Goods in Carlton. Links to those locations, as well as where she teaches her classes, will be on the show notes as well, so don't hesitate to check them out. And because this is my podcast and I can do what I want to, I have a couple shout outs that I want to give some folks. I should probably do more of this because it's just plain fun. First of all, you may remember on a previous podcast, as well as a really great event he did here in Duluth to show off his product, Gene Wood with Life's Pure Balance, a amazing veggie wash that I actually like and use, because I think I get more life and I know I get more taste out of my fruits and vegetables. Gene is based in the Twin Cities and he is in many, many stores down there, but he is now at Mount Royal Foods here in Duluth, Minnesota. So if you are listening and you want to get some of that veggie wash, you can now go to the store and you do not have to wait for him to come to Duluth and deliver it to us. So yay! Go Gene! That is fantastic. I really do love this stuff. It's great. Gene was on episode 51 if you want to learn more about the Veggie Watch and find out why it works so well. And my second shout out is a little less direct nonetheless. Peter Hafton visited us on an episode number 46, where we talked about A Matter of Balance, a class among many that supports our aging population. Peter is not only great at supporting that community, but he also has a bit of a side gig called Catching Adventures, and I, along with our silent tech guy here at Wellness Renaissance, had the opportunity to hang out on a pontoon and go fishing with him for a few hours a while back. And I just wanted to say, I, one who has very little experience fishing, had a fantastic time. He's super great at helping you learn what in the heck you're doing and feeling really good about it and making a great environment. So it was really fun to be out on the lake and learn about the lake and the fish. Many fish were caught, a few were kept, and dinner was fantastic. So thank you so much, Peter, for being a wonderful guide. If that speaks to you and you're in or traveling to Duluth, you can find him at Catching Adventures, both on the web and on Facebook. Thank you again so much for listening, and may you continue to find those pieces that fit easily and synergistically into your health and wellness puzzle. Until next time, take good care.